Greetings once again. Welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, wainihau, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, soa di karup, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Kill, Vivisection Prison, Kilitary Industrial Corporation, in the wiretapped one-party post-constitutional, cheese-covered, bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, with a salute to Uncle Salmonella and a Heilbush, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, fighting the good fight against killing and grilling and drilling. You know, at a gallon of gasoline per pound of beef, we have to look at the answer to go vegan. That's not the answer that Bush sees. Bush is for drilling. He lifted the executive order against offshore drilling. McCain is for drilling. Why is McCain so pro-drilling? Huh? I don't get it. I don't know. Maverick McCain in recent years just doesn't seem like himself. He seems... Actually, lately, he seems more and more like Dick Cheney, you know, and we don't see much of Cheney anymore. Do you think? Could it be the result of the drilling we see is John McCain's lobotomy? Is he now a transplantee receiving the brain of Dick Cheney that makes him so insane he seeks to war for a century and drill and nuke the ecology? Whose brain, McCain, now makes you sick? What's in your head? Is it the brain of Dick? Well, I'm sorry, I just get a little out of control, don't I, here, when, I have to apologize for my brain, huh? I mean, it's just the way it goes for me sometimes. My brain could support offshore drilling if it had to, but I suppose that would only be for offshore tofu, you know. I do think huge reservoirs of soy have been located off the coast of Alaska, so let's now put an end to our dependence on Saudi Arabian bean curd, huh? Sorry, I don't know, my brain, like I said, it's just because I think I'm upset by this news that came from Associated Press that British Petroleum has started drilling the world's longest wells off of Alaska. Just started, it was just announced, and that's the reservoir 6 miles off Alaska's northern coast is expected to yield about 100 million barrels of oil starting in 2011. So we are definitely going in the wrong direction. We are going down. And, I'm hearing, McCain supporters are a little upset with the brain surgery I just performed on him, poetically moments ago. Let's look at McCain's brain, huh? What does it say here in his cerebellum? Let's see if we can read. Oh, he thinks he's running for 4 years of polident, not president. Four years of free polident. That's not bad. But if you do want to be upset with me, let it be for the bumper sticker that I'm selling on my website, goveganradio.com. It's eat Republicans, not animals. And, oh, by the way, don't worry, the Republicans are organic, cage-free, humane meat. And this is not a political endorsement, that eat Republicans, not animals. No, it is merely a dietary suggestion. I also suggest that you wash your hands thoroughly after preparing to avoid E. coli or salmonella, as salmonella is always of animal origin. But even knowing that, Bush the meat eater, his regime continues its war on vegetables, you know, doesn't seem to stop. Now, recently, the impropaganda of your United States government and its Department of Deutschland Security brought up the old scare tactics. Your terror vision set alerted you to that latest security risk. What was it? Oh, first it was the attack of the killer tomatoes. Yeah, that was kind of bizarre, wasn't it? Well, we talked about this, I know, a few weeks back. I got a letter from Denise S. of Yonkers, New York. She said, Dear Bob, thank you for your commentary on the killer tomatoes. If you recall, the E. coli infection of spinach 2 years ago was eventually blamed on nearby cattle, but also deer and a wild boar who was killed nearby. If plants cannot be blamed, Denise says, if plants cannot be blamed, why not blame the local wildlife, right, who are so also apparently being harmed by factory farming, although I had to wonder how many wild boars there are in California and why they are pooping on all the spinach, and how did they get the deer to all go along with that, huh? And Denise says, fondest regards for your wonderful work on the attack of the killer tomatoes, okay? And now, well, maybe we should build that wall after all, huh? Here's that, you know, the ammunition for it, because the greatest threat to us now isn't Al-Qaeda, no. It's jalapeno peppers from the Department of Deutschland Security. Salsa alert. We got this useless Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act from the Bush-Cheney-Pelosi regime. I hope that Mr. Obama's administration will pass the Vegetable Enterprise Terrorism Act. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because...
Oh, new one. I know. And you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Because I really think we need to protect vegetables from the slanderous impropaganda that they get. We've blamed tomatoes, jalapeno peppers, and green onions and watermelon. But who really is to blame, huh? Let me see. I think it may be products of animal origin. I will go to the official website, Centers for Disease Control, which tells us every year approximately 40,000 cases of salmonellosis are reported in the United States because many milder cases are not diagnosed or reported. The actual number of infections may be 30 or more times greater. Salmonellosis, okay? And some prevention steps, what can you do about your salmonella to prevent it? Well, what are the CDC website says? Well, there's no vaccine to prevent salmonellosis because foods of animal origin may be contaminated with salmonella. People should not eat raw or undercooked eggs, poultry, or meat. Raw eggs may be unrecognized in some foods, such as homemade hollandaise sauce, Caesar, and other homemade salad dressings, tiramisu, homemade ice cream, homemade mayonnaise, cookie dough and frostings. Poultry and meat, including hamburgers, have to be well cooked, not pink in the middle. Don't eat meat. Don't eat these products. Raw unpasteurized milk presents dangers. Cross-contaminations of foods should be avoided. Uncooked meats should be kept separate from produce, cooked foods, and ready-to-eat foods. Hands, cutting boards, counters, knives, and other utensils should be washed thoroughly after touching uncooked foods. You know, if you have to clean up after these foods like this, why would you put them in your mouth? Huh? Why would you swallow them? Well, I guess to get your salmonellosis, huh? Okay, now we blame the jalapeno peppers. It's the meat. It's the dairy. It's the poultry. Look out for it. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You don't hear this information elsewhere in the media. This is where you get it on this radio program today. A very controversial interview coming up with Gary Francione, a professor. He's a prominent respected philosopher of animal rights and law, the first one to teach it in an American law school. He has a new book out, Americans as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation. He's coming up. Donate at goveganradio.com.
Burgers and hot dogs today, then heart attack and cancer tomorrow.
Go Vegan Radio is happy to welcome the sponsorship of Explorer's Bounty. Exploring the planet for nature's finest bounty and offering sustainable products, USDA certified organic from estate and co-op farming partnerships. Ask for Explorer's Bounty products at your natural foods market, select grocers, or order online at explorersbounty.com. Remember, while you're enjoying that delicious cup of coffee or that handful of artisan dark chocolate from Explorer's Bounty, you're not only helping Go Vegan Radio, but you're supporting small, sustainable farmers around the globe. Visit explorersbounty.com right now to order USDA certified organic coffee, whole bean or ground. Select the wonderful Peruvian light roast or medium roast from Colombia and Costa Rica, and dark roast from Ethiopia and Sumatra. Also available, Sumatran dark roast decaf. And to satisfy that sweet craving, look for the organic vegan dark chocolates, hand-covered espresso beans, cocoa beans, macadamia nuts, and cashews. Explore for yourself at explorersbounty.com. That's explorersbounty.com.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A total treat. No meat in San Jose. Oh, one of the true West Coast dining treasures. Vegetarian House. Vegan organic cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Amazing appetizers, soups, and entrees. Asian delicacies, Western specialties, organic juices, coffee, cake, desserts. A chai tea on weekends, that's an experience in itself. As all items on the menu are. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Call 408-2 292-3798.
You say you have a beef with your jerky, and now that you know it's mad and sad to be biting on bovine, how now? No cow? Primal Strips and Primal Sticks Meatless Jerky. Meaty satisfaction without the meat. At Whole Foods and natural markets everywhere. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com and visit your natural foods market for smoked or pepperoni Primal Sticks or Primal Strips varieties. Hickory Smoked, Teriyaki, Texas Barbecue, Thai Peanut, Hot and Spicy, Mesquite Lime, Vegan, Kosher, no preservatives, MSG, GMOs, or cholesterol. Soy, seitan, shiitake. Voted Veg News Best of Show Natural Products Expo and PETA Pragi for Best Vegan Snack. How now? No cow? Yummy, high protein, primal strips, and primal sticks at Whole Foods and your natural foods market. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. That's PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Check out the Raw Game, sponsored by EverythingRaw.com. Visit RawOlympics.org, a series of competitions to showcase Raw athletes. 15 medal events, including cycling, running, swimming, jumping, tree climbing, and martial arts. And 15 medal events, each winner takes home an ounce of gold. November 21st through November 24th in Pahoa, Hawaii. Interested in competing or being a spectator, sponsor, or volunteer? Email, contact us at RawOlympics.org, or call 434-960-7293. It's a cornucopia of vegan selections at Organic Harvest Cafe, 235 East 53rd Street, New York, with a delicious, nutritious menu that's 100% certified organic. Appetizers, salads, soups, entrees, burgers, sandwiches, wraps. See the menu at organicharvestcafe.com. Free delivery. Call 212-421-6444. Catering available. Organic Harvest Cafe, 235 East 53rd Street, New York. 212-421-6444. OrganicHarvestCafe.com. First, you said you couldn't go vegan because you couldn't get rid of mayonnaise. Then along came Veginase. Now you're clinging to the bagel and cream cheese excuse? No excuse. Follow Your Heart is pleased to announce its new Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative. Creamy and smooth with the taste, texture, and color of traditional cream cheese. No animal products, hydrogenated oils, or preservatives. 76% organic. Visit FollowYourHeart.com for Angel's Heavenly Vegan Cheesecake Recipe. Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative from Follow Your Heart, available nationwide.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, supported by your tax-deductible donations. Free speech is expensive. We have to pay the radio stations. You can donate online at goveganradio.org. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147, Go Vegan Radio Project of 501c3, International Humanities Center. Well, this will be a very interesting program as we really examine animal rights and the state of the movement where it is now. Today we have a prominent and respected philosopher of animal rights law and ethical theory. Professor Gary Francione was the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. He's lectured on the topic throughout the world, the United States and Canada and Europe and Rutgers University is where he's based, and his books include Introduction to Animal Rights and Animals, Property, and the Law. And his new book is Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation. Welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Professor Francione.
Bob, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you here today. So you're shifting your emphasis, it seems, from animal rights to abolition?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, I propose a theory of animal rights. I talk about abolition because the expression animal rights no longer has really any meaning. Animal rights has collapsed as a concept. Most of the large animal organizations talk about animal rights. When they talk about animal rights, what they're talking about is animal welfare. They're talking about things like the Proposition 2 that you have out in California. They're talking about things like controlled atmosphere killing for Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're talking about those sorts of things.
Welfare is kind of a strange word, also, isn't it? As part of, I mean, it's really not welfare. You don't think, you know, when you're talking about the kind of treatment you're talking about, it's more like animal manipulation or treatment? I mean, I don't know if welfare...
Animal welfare, when you talk about welfare in the context of animals, it's a different notion, really, than when you're talking about it in the context of humans. I mean, animal welfare has a particular meaning, and what it basically means is that it's morally justifiable to use animals as long as you treat them humanely and do not inflict, quote, unnecessary, end quote, suffering, whatever that is, on them. So that's the technical meaning of animal welfare. And the problem is that animal rights sort of collapsed into that, so that things which are proposed, regulation of exploitation is characterized as animal rights. And what really sort of brings the point home to me is when Randy Strauss of Strauss Veal a few months back announced that Strauss Veal was going to phase in group housing and get away from the veal crate, he talked about his respect for animal rights, and I thought, well, you know, heck, if people like Randy Strauss, if institutional animal exploiters like that feel comfortable in talking about animal rights, then obviously the concept has lost its meaning. So I focus on abolition, and I'm developing a theory of abolitionism, which basically says, look, the primary moral problem here is use. Worse treatment is better than better treatment, but that's really not the issue. The issue is use. We shouldn't be using them. We have no moral justification.
Better treatment is better than worse treatment, right? Was that what we?
Well, I mean, look. It is true. If I'm going to kill you, Bob, it's better that I not torture you. That's a no-brainer. But, you know, do we want to really have campaigns in which we say, let's have humane murder? I mean, that's really the issue. I mean, yes, of course, it is always better. I mean, to be a genius to sort of figure out that if you're going to kill somebody, it's worse to torture the person. Indeed, that's why we have criminal laws where we impose that. If you torture somebody, in a lot of states you can be eligible for the death penalty, whereas if you commit a murder in which you don't engage in conduct which is particularly egregious, you're not eligible for the death penalty. So obviously it is better if you're going to kill somebody, it is better not to torture them. But that doesn't mean we want to give awards. I mean, the problem is the movement, if that's what you want to call it. The movement does these bizarre things, like gives awards to people who are committing the murder but are torturing less, or they praise these people, or they put labels on their products and promote them.
I have to say, I've had a problem recently, and I've asked the listeners of this program too to contact the HSUS and ask that it discontinue its association with Wolfgang Puck. I find that I saw a video where Wolfgang Puck was talking about giving up foie gras in my restaurant, but we still have to have something for the customers, so now I can give them pâté made out of cage-free chicken livers. And I don't find that any reason to celebrate. There's still horrendous killing, and if we learn about cage-free, it's not cruelty-free, and I'm very concerned that people are making the association with cage-free and humane, and what's humane?
Well, I mean, a major part of the new book that I have that Columbia University Press just published, Animals as Persons, a major portion of that book focuses on exactly that problem, and the fact that we have this bizarre phenomenon now where groups like HSUS and PETA and Farm Sanctuary and all the rest of these organizations they basically form partnerships with animal exploiters, there are obvious problems with this. One of the most serious is that it's making people feel better about animal exploitation. First of all, I think a lot of these welfare reforms, or supposed welfare reforms, don't really do anything to help animals anyway. I really do not see the difference between a conventional battery and what's called cage-free eggs. And we are now seeing a number of scandals in Britain where it's coming to light that that producers that have the Freedom Food label of the RSPCA, which is similar to the humane raised and handled label, which is one of the labels that we have here that is promoted by HSUS and other organizations, and how these animals in these places are treated horribly, and that basically there's no significant difference between a cage-free egg and a conventional battery egg. But I mean, I agree with you on the Wolfgang Puck situation. I mean, it's bizarre that we have animal organizations promoting people like this, but we have animal organizations.
Well, he's a mass killer of animals. So I don't understand why.
So is Kentucky Fried Chicken in Canada, and you have PETA coming out and calling off the boycott of Kentucky Fried Chicken in Canada and saying that we believe they're really committed to animal welfare. Well, if PETA makes a statement like that and calls off the boycott, what message does that send to the public? It basically says, well, you know, we're still boycotting them in the States, but you people in Canada, you can go. We've called off the boycott. They're concerned about animal welfare. That is, in my judgment, about as close to obscenity as you get, because basically what they're doing is they're putting their stamp of approval on the mass killing and torture of animals. Let us be clear here. This whole controlled atmosphere killing thing is deeply problematic. There is enormous amounts of controversy within the animal community. I mean, you have people like Bernie Rollin out at Colorado, who is an animal ethicist, a prominent animal ethicist. I don't agree with him. He's a welfarist. But he basically, Bernie Rollin, has been taking the position that he won't endorse controlled atmosphere killing because he's not convinced that it's humane. There's a lot of controversy, even amongst the welfarists, about whether this is providing any significant welfare benefit to animals. But
well, is killing ever humane? I mean, they're never kissed to death, are they?
That's right. They're never kissed to death. But I think it's actually more serious than that. I mean, I think that the illusion is that the pain and suffering, yes, the death is always a problem. Although I think, you know, one of the difficulties with the movement is that you have people like Peter Singer and a lot of other people who do not think that killing per se is the problem, because they don't think animals have an interest in their lives, and that is a serious problem. Putting that issue aside, the issue of killing, there are people who say, well, you know, but isn't it a lot better if the suffering, the pain and suffering's taken out? And the response to that is the pain and suffering isn't being taken out. The controlled atmosphere killing method is horribly brutal. And it is not at all clear to anybody who's looking at this, except the people promoting it, that it's providing any sort of significant welfare benefit to those animals, number one. Number two, we do know that what it's doing is sending a message to the public that animal exploitation, you know, it can be made morally acceptable. And I think that's a terrible message to be promoting.
Well, we have to go to a break. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione. He has a new book, Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please support this program with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.org.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated. Please make donations to this show to help make it a better world, click donate at goveganradio.com.
It is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And for archives and podcasts, you can go to goveganradio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this program. Today we are talking to Professor Gary Francione. He has a new book, Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation. Gary, I saw something in the Detroit Free Press, little story here. It says, oh, the red lipstick is the first clue. The white-coated butcher sawing up a grass-fed California lamb isn't your typical meat eater. But behind those vintage trappings, Avadanos is on the cutting edge of 21st century food trends, owned and operated by three women, one an ex-vegetarian, and selling sustainably raised, locally produced meat. They said, I never dreamed I would own a butcher shop, Eisenman said. It's kind of surreal. I was a vegetarian for 15 years. And then they're quoted saying, butchering is primal. It's really primal. She says, one of my favorite stories is this butcher that we hired. We were sawing a veal in half, and I was holding the legs, and he was sawing in half. I felt like I was a cave woman or something. It was pretty awesome. And then it says, a recent customer, Michelle Alessandro, in the neighborhood stopped by. She said, this is pretty much the only place we buy meat. We were all sort of deciding to go vegetarian, and her husband was having a hard time with it, and he was, all right, I'm going to go humanely raised, humanely slaughtered animals. So that's...
It's a serious problem, Bob. It's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that is being caused by the animal organizations because they're promoting this craziness that there's such a thing as happy meat and happy animal products. It's a problem being caused by the animal organizations. And they're doing it intentionally because they are all behind, all of the large groups, you have a number of the large groups supporting the Whole Foods Animal Compassionate Standard. You have HSUS, the ASPCA, and a number of other organizations supporting the Certified Humane Raised and Handled label. There are other labels out there. There are labels in, it's a serious problem. You have the organizations, as I said, have formed partnerships with animal exploiters to market their products. It's appalling, and it's a serious problem.
But Gary, how are so many people, my very caring friends seem very interested in this. They say, well, what have abolitionists done? They say, we want to make some progress, even if it's incremental. We have to give the birds some more room. These are caring, sympathetic people.
If you want to make incremental progress, take that money and put it into nonviolent, creative, vegan education. You and I have had the experience of being people who operate on, I don't have any budget at all.
I start from zero, too, usually on a weekly basis.
Exactly, and yet what we do is vegan education, and I'm sure that, I know I do, and I'm sure you do, get an enormous amount of feedback from people who say, gee whiz, I never thought about it that way, I'm going vegan.
Absolutely.
If you took some of the money that these multi-zillion dollar organizations have, you have HSUS sitting on top of $223 or $5 million. That's almost a quarter of $1 billion and an annual revenue of $130 million. You take some of that money and put it into nonviolent, creative, vegan education. And I'm talking about a significant amount of money. You would have incremental progress.
Well, with the numbers you're talking about, Professor Francione, if I had 0.5% of that, I could have this program on 100 radio stations around the country, probably for 2 years, the cost.
Wouldn't that be marvelous? So you know what I'd like to suggest, Bob, is why don't you invite my old friend Wayne Pacell, whom I have known for many years. He and I used to work together on various projects. And why don't you invite Wayne Pacell on to debate why HSUS is not supporting a wonderful program like Go Vegan Radio, and why they are supporting something silly like
like Wolfgang Puck?
like Wolfgang or Proposition 2. I'd like to say that Proposition 2 out there in California is ridiculous, but it gives a bad name to things ridiculous. It's appalling. It's not going to do anything for the animals. It's going to make people feel better about animal exploitation, and it doesn't come into effect anyway until 2015. It's absurd. I cannot believe that anybody is taking it seriously. But you see, it's perfect for fundraising purposes. It will not upset the apple cart at all. It's not going to make any significant change for animals. It's not probably, even if it's passed, it will probably never come into a force. It's like the foie gras ban out in California, which...
Do you mean Chicago, or...?
No, the one in California, the one that Schwarzenegger signed, which is supposed to come into effect in, I forget when it is.
2012, I think.
2012, right. But when Schwarzenegger signed it, he signed it with a statement that says that, you know, the industry was going to be given 7.5 years or whatever to develop a more humane way to make this. And if you really think that's ever going to come into effect, I think the chances are quite small. I think the same thing about Proposition 2. I think it's ridiculous. So why don't you invite Wayne Pacelle on, and let's debate Proposition 2, and let's ask the question, you know, if they're really committed to anything progressive, why aren't they doing things like promoting veganism and putting a few bucks into promoting vegan education?
Well, that's certainly my cause. That's the, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I after being in animal rights for so long, I'm a little concerned of the repercussions of my actions sometimes. Some years back, I supported the ban on steel leg hold traps, and now I find that they're using snares, you know, so I always want to think, What could, you know, the repercussions be? What could the consequences be? And I'm very concerned about happy meat, humane meat, people who would be going vegan now consuming animal products. This past weekend, there was an article in the Los Angeles Times talking about Wolfgang Puck and HSUS again, and I'm appalled. Now, tell me, there have been, again, the EU, Florida has gestation bans, Chicago foie gras. Can you give just a little overview of some of those? And
sure. Look, for the most part, let me make a general statement, then we can talk about the specific things. As a general matter, most of these welfare reforms involve practices that industry is in the process of changing anyway, because industry is coming to see that these things are economically inefficient. For example, controlled atmosphere killing. The poultry industry in Europe particularly, but is slowly recognizing that controlled atmosphere killing increases profits and increases production efficiency. Same thing about the veal crate, same thing about the gestation crate. Industry, the pork industry, the veal industry is coming to realize that these forms of intensive confinement are not economically efficient because the animals get really sick, there are a lot of veterinary costs, and so they're moving in, the industry is moving in the direction of getting rid of these practices anyway. So what happens is you get the animal people who come in and start campaigns going after the vulnerable practices, the economically vulnerable practices anyway. They're going to end up going. And so you know, that's really what this is about, is that the animal organizations identify things which are not economically efficient. They go after them. You know, it's really win-win.
I asked Mr. Shapiro at HSUS. I was concerned because, you know, there's very little veal production in California, and Proposition 2 addresses that. But the female bovines are confined, and I was all upset about that it didn't concern them. But then I found out that by this legislation, this would be acceptable conditions that they're in now, and I was complaining that they weren't included in Proposition 2, and I find out, well, these confinements are what would be acceptable.
But you see, this is the irony, isn't it? What Proposition 2 and similar sorts of legislation do is they basically put a stamp of approval from these, you know, so basically what will happen is, if Proposition 2 is passed, you'll have HSUS and Farm Sanctuary and all these other animal organizations putting a stamp of approval on some really horrific practices and declaring victory and then doing fundraising and raising trillions of dollars. But, you know, it really is, it's ironic if you think about it.
And people should know that cage-free doesn't mean cruelty-free. They're de-beaked, they're force-molted, which means they're starved. Nobody gets out alive. It's 100% death sentence, and all the baby male chicks are killed pretty immediately.
Absolutely, and you know, the animals are crap. They're you're jammed in these barns. The smell is horrible. The animals are fighting with each other. They're walking over each other. You know, the primary difference between cage-free eggs and conventional battery cage eggs is that with cage-free eggs, you got one big cage, and in cage-free, you got smaller cages. But it's a horrible situation. And for people to think that they're doing something morally good by eating cage-free eggs, that's absurd. And for animal advocates to think that it's an efficient use of resources to try to promote these things. I mean, remember something, Bob, it's a zero-sum game. Every dollar we spend on promoting things like cage-free eggs or controlled atmosphere killing or other forms of absurdity is a dollar less or a minute less time that we have to promote vegan education.
Absolutely. And by the way, I did something that upset me about people who were gathering signatures was that they were told, most of them were under the impression that they shouldn't mention veganism at all as they were collecting signatures. And I thought that was a missed opportunity, 800,000 missed opportunities.
You know, you talk about missed opportunities. I remember when the Michael Vick scandal came out, I guess it was last year, and everybody was talking about how horrible it was he was doing dog fighting. And I was listening to all these groups, you know, rant and rave about Michael Vick. And I wrote an editorial that was published in the Philadelphia Daily News about, and I said the title of it was "We're All Michael Vick." And I basically said, "Look, I think what Michael Vick did was terrible, but let's be honest about it. What's the difference between watching dogs fight around a pit or sitting around the summer barbecue and roast their, you know, cooking them?"
Absolutely.
And basically, we needed to see that there really wasn't a difference. And I have to tell you something. I got an enormous response to that, and I think the whole Michael Vick thing was a missed opportunity for the movement to focus people on why it is we think it's all right for, I mean, you know, Michael Vick kills dogs because he enjoys watching them fight, and we kill them because we enjoy their taste. So, I mean, we're really no, you know, anybody who thinks they're, you know, that what Michael Vick did was in any way morally worse than what, you know, 99% of the public is doing, just wrong. And so we miss these opportunities.
Professor Francione, we're just about out of time. Stay with us. We can probably talk another few minutes on the other side of the break. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If you've missed any of this, go to the archive at goveganradio.com.
GOVEGANRADIO.com. GOVEGANRADIO.com.
First you said you couldn't go vegan because you couldn't get rid of mayonnaise. Then along came veganaise. Now you're clinging to the bagel and cream cheese excuse? No excuse. Follow Your Heart is pleased to announce its new Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative. Creamy and smooth with the taste, texture, and color of traditional cream cheese. No animal products, hydrogenated oils, or preservatives. 76% organic. Visit followyourheart.com for Angel's Heavenly Vegan Cheesecake Recipe. Vegan Gourmet Cream Cheese Alternative from Follow Your Heart. Available nationwide. Eating raw doesn't mean doing without life's great pleasures, and the Everything Raw Company at EverythingRaw.com proves it with two delectable food bars that you'll think are decadent. Actually, the chewy, raw, dark chocolate 29% cacao is called Raw Decadence. Order it at EverythingRaw.com. Also try the Indigo Nights Bar, a creamy pistachio fudge bar that tastes like a brownie. Both are vegan, fair trade, 100% raw, organic, gluten-free, and delicious. Order at EverythingRaw.com. Call 434-293-6325. EverythingRaw.com. Get all of your vegan essentials from veganessentials.com, your online vegan superstore. Food, snacks, sweets, vitamins and supplements, clothing, vegan footwear, belts, bags, wallets, 1,200 vegan items in stock at veganessentials.com. Order online or toll free at 866-88-VEGAN. Cosmetics, bath and body, candles, fragrances, massage, products for baby, home, companion animals, vegan dog and cat food. veganessentials.com. Go Vegan Radio listeners get special discounts when you enter GVR in the coupon box at veganessentials.com. Explore the world of rice at Lotus Foods. Perfect rice starts with the perfect rice cooker from lotusfoods.com. 100% stainless steel. No aluminum or Teflon like other rice cookers. Order at lotusfoods.com. Lotus Foods, bringing you exotic heirloom organic rice from small family farms around the world.
try new organic jade pearl rice, bamboo infused for flavor and nutrition. Also new, organic forbidden rice, the same heirloom grain grown exclusively for Chinese emperors. Available at Whole Foods, Safeway, and natural food stores around America. From Lotus Foods, also, purchase a rice sampler gift box at lotusfoods.com, along with the perfect rice cooker from Lotus Foods.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and I want you to come on down to my favorite restaurant in the whole world, Sublime. Acclaimed by food critics, Sublime offers world vegan cuisine, and 100% of Sublime's profits benefit animal welfare. It's located in the heart of Fort Lauderdale. Hope to see you there. For reservations, call 954-539-9000 or visit sublimerestaurant.com.
Don't have a cow? That's mad. Be glad. Have a Sunshine Burger, the original great-tasting organic vegan veggie burger. High protein, wheat-free, gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free since 1983. Pure and simple ingredients, organic ground raw sunflower seeds, farm-fresh produce and grains, sea salt, oven-baked, heat and serve. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section. Four varieties, original, Southwest, barbecue, and garden herb. Sunshine Burger. Visit sunshineburger.com. Based on the latest satellite data, NASA climate scientists predict nearly all ice could be gone from the Arctic Ocean by the end of summer 2012. NASA scientist James Hansen said, "We have passed tipping points. We have not passed the point of no return. It's going to require a quick turn in direction." For more urgent details on saving our planet, going vegan and green, visit suprememastertv.com. That's suprememastertv.com.
Pigs and chickens don't want to be food.
And we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Oh, that was so disgusting before when we talked about those butchers just, you know, pulling the veal. You know, it's but there's now humane veal, right? They felt so primal. I would rather have primal strips. You know, they're vegan. And 10 grams of protein, at least. Athletes love them. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Check out the website, goveganradio.com. You can donate there so that this show can continue and be on the air. It's almost 8 years being on the air. We have Professor Gary Francione with us today. He has a new book, Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation. How can people get the book, Gary?
Well, they can go to the Columbia University Press website, where all of their animal titles are on sale during the month of July until August 1. They can go to their bookstores. They can get it on Amazon.com. And they should also visit our website, www.abolitionistapproach.com, and they can get more information about not only about the book, but about abolition and the relationship between abolition and veganism as a general matter.
Okay. And Gary, haven't there been those victories for the animals in the European Union with banning the battery cages, gestation crates in Florida, foie gras in Chicago? I mean, aren't there victories here to be celebrated?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, a lot of those things are illusory, and they're illusory in various ways. For example, you have all of that, the time and effort and money that went into banning fox hunting in Britain, the ban's not being enforced, and it's probably going to end up being repealed. You have the ordinance in Chicago about foie gras that was basically repealed. You have, as far as the European Union and the battery cage, the European Union, the countries of the European Union are supposed to get rid of the battery cage by 2012. A, it's never going to happen, and B, they're permitted to substitute what is called an enriched cage, which even conservative animal welfare organizations like Compassion and World Farming are critical of. So I think that these are really not, I mean, look, Bob, the bottom line is, nothing's ever really going to change as long as people are eating animals, animal flesh and animal products. I mean, we're never going to find our moral compass as long as they're sitting on our plates or they're in our glasses or whatever. It's never going to happen. We need to educate people. Turning to the law to regulate things and to change things is not a wise thing to do. What we really do need to do, because it's not going to work, and the proof is in the vegan pudding, it ain't working. I mean, you know, we don't have victories. The reforms that we have aren't doing anything except making animal production more efficient and profitable for institutional animal exploiters, and many of these supposed bans have been repealed or aren't being enforced. The problem is that we have a society and a culture which, you know, where 99% of the people think it's perfectly all right to inflict pain, suffering, and death on more than 12 billion animals every year in the United States alone, 53 billion around the world, simply because they taste good. I reiterate that we're never going to find our moral legs in this. We're never going to find our moral compass as long as we're eating them. We need
So those of us who are vegan have an imperative to educate others, to always speak out on it.
Always, always. I mean, my view is the most important thing you can do as an individual is to go vegan. It is a political act. It is applying the principle of abolition to your life. And once you go vegan, the moral imperative is engage in creative, nonviolent vegan education. Go out there and educate people. And let me tell you something. And again, I know this and you know this, and I'd like other people to be turned on to this. We know it's possible. It's not as difficult as a lot of these animal groups want to portray. Oh, you know, they always moan and complain and say people are never going to become vegan. Well, they're never going to become vegan if you take that attitude. But if you go to them and say, look, here are the reasons why you need to think about this. A lot of people won't listen, but a lot of people will listen. And if we put a fraction of the money that we put into these ridiculous welfare campaigns into creative, nonviolent vegan education, we would be making incremental change that would be significant because we would be decreasing demand.
We're just about out of time, but there's a global imperative that we do that now. I mean, meat and dairy cause global warming. They're the most environmentally devastating forces on Earth, and there's no time. There's no time to waste.
They're worse than fossil fuels, and the whole debate about ethanol is ridiculous. Ethanol isn't what's causing grain.
30 seconds, Gary. 30 seconds.
Ethanol is not what's causing corn prices or grain prices to go up. It's meat eating and animal products that's causing the problem.
Okay. Thank you, Professor Gary Francione. Again, the new book, Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation. Thank you for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden today.
Bob, I've enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you.
MEATSTINKS. Meat stinks.
Peace begins with your plate, your vegan plate, Vegan Plate Restaurant, 11943 Ventura Boulevard, just east of Laurel Canyon in Studio City, at Radford next to CBS Studios. Vegan Plate Restaurant, international cuisine, appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, wraps, burgers, desserts, lunch and dinner combinations. Vegan Plate Restaurant, Studio City. Free delivery, open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., 818-506-9015. 11943 Ventura Boulevard, Vegan Plate Restaurant.
One of the great dining delights in all of Southern California is Vegetable Delight Restaurant in Granada Hills. Over the centuries, Buddhist monks have perfected the art of replicating tastes and textures of meat and seafood. Dishes using such ingredients as tofu, mushrooms, gluten, yam paste. The LA Times Review calls Vegetable Delight a special delight, and the food astounding. 17823 Chatsworth Street near White Oak, Granada Hills. Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 to 9:30. Vegetable Delight Restaurant. Dine in or take out. 818-360-3997.
Wouldn't it be great to have delicious local organic produce delivered to your home or office? You can, from farm fresh to you, delivering a box of seasonal organic produce directly to your door anywhere in the Bay Area with a flexible schedule, weekly, bi-monthly, or once a month. You can receive a delivery of produce for as little as $21.50 per month. Farming organically since 1976. Farmfreshtoyou.com. Use the promo code 4250 when you order, sign up, and save $15 at farmfreshtoyou.com. Hooray for Hollywood. It has a truly wonderful vegan restaurant, Truly Vegan. 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson, just off the 101 freeway at the Hollywood Boulevard exit. Enjoy Truly for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Enjoy the new soy beef burger with bacon strips or the cheesy grilled potato burrito, the burrito supreme with bacon strips and vegetable dumplings. Truly Vegan. Truly wonderful. Truly caters. Truly delivers. TrulyVegan.net is the website. Truly Vegan.
You may not have had this thought before, but you, my friend, are herbivore. Not meant to dine on flesh and gore. Instead, let's eat at Herbivore. 100% vegan, that's for sure. Delicious, nutritious Herbivore. Breakfast daily, 9 to 2. Pancakes, French toast, crepes, a scramble or burrito for you. Salads, wraps, sandwiches, soup du jour. At friendly and fun-filled Herbivore. Fill up on falafel, lasagna, lunch, dinner, entrees galore. Delicious desserts, a fine wine will pour. Looking forward to seeing you at Herbivore.
Three Berea locations, in San Francisco at 983 Valencia and 531 Divisadero, and in Berkeley at 2451 Shattuck. Visit herbivorerestaurant.com for directions, phone numbers, and hours. Open 9 a.m. daily and late on weekends. Featuring about 200 menu items, see them at herbivorerestaurant.com. It's a fun place to hang out. Bring your friends. It's great being an herbivore. It's great eating at Herbivore.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And I thank you for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And we have to take action. Oh, people in the Army aren't traumatized enough. The Army now is shooting live pigs, and that to treat gunshot wounds in medical trauma exercise. So please call the Army and ask the Army not to shoot pigs. The Animal Rights Conference is coming up on the East Coast. It's August 14th through the 18th at the Hilton Marks Center in Alexandria, Virginia. I strongly suggest you attend. Go to the website. It's arconference.org. arconference.org for this year's Animal Rights Conference. That's in the Washington, D.C. area. Somebody sent me some word that there's a contraceptive for homeless cats, for ferals. I normally don't talk about pharmaceuticals here, but if you want to look into it, if we can cut down on the cat population, I really don't know much about it other than it's called Feralstat, and the phone number is 1-888-4-TEAM, F-O-R-T-E-A-M. I'm not endorsing, I'm just saying that's just the way it is. Jimmy Kimmel is on TV saying if you're a vegan, you can't consume alcohol or sugar. What kind of talk show host is he? That is not correct information. We don't consume sugar if it's filtered through cow bones. That's white refined sugar. And many alcoholic beverages are filtered through animal products. So not all beers and wines are vegan. So thanks for listening. I appreciate it, and please support the program financially at goveganradio.org.